Truth has no agenda.
Welcome everyone to Truth Has No Agenda. Textbooks often indicate that the Pilgrims settled in Plymouth, Massachusetts because the harsh winter was approaching or a storm sent them off course from their original Virginia destination. Winter's onset cannot have been the reason. However, for the weather would be much milder in Virginia than Massachusetts. Moreover, the Pilgrims spent 6 full weeks until December 26th scouting around Cape Cod looking for the best spot, Lowen wrote, in Lies My Teacher Told Me. The Dutch possibly bribed the Mayflower's captain to sail north, a good distance from New Amsterdam in present-day New York. Some historians believe their arrival in Cape Cod was purposeful. Historian George Williamson has argued that the Pilgrims' leader, wanting to be far from the Anglican control, never planned to settle in Virginia, Lowen continued. They had debated the relative merits of Guyana in South America versus Massachusetts coast. And according to Williamson, they intended a hijacking. Certainly, the Pilgrims already knew quite a bit about what Massachusetts could offer them, from the fine fishing along Cape Cod to that wonderful plague which offered an unusual opportunity for English settlement. Prior to the European arrival, America's indigenous did not experience illnesses attributed to livestock, overcrowding, or poor hygiene. Residents of Northern Europe and England rarely bathed, believing it unhealthy, and rarely removed all of their clothing at one time, believing it immodest, Lowen wrote in Lies My Teacher Told Me. The Pilgrims smelled bad to Indians. Squanto tried without success to teach them to bathe, according to Feeney Zinner, his biographer. In fact, 3 years before the Pilgrims landed, English and French fishermen transmitted diseases to tribes as they came ashore to find fresh water, firewood, and capture Native Americans for slave trade. Within 3 years, the plague wiped out between 90 to 96% of the inhabitants of coastal New England. Native societies were devastated. Only the 20th person is left alive, wrote Robert Cushman, an English eyewitness, recording a death rate unknown in all previous human experience, Lowen wrote. Those who did survive left their communities to join others, bringing the illness along with them. This caused many Native Americans to perish, even though they had not encountered Europeans. Once the Pilgrims did arrive in 1620, the epidemics across Indian country were far from over. Throughout history, religion has served as a means of justification, and for the English separatists, it was no different. They believed the widespread death and devastation of Native Americans due to disease was divine provenience, and that God willed them to take over the land. By the time the native population of New England had replenished themselves to some degree, it was too late to expel the intruders. If colonists had not been able to occupy lands already cleared by Indian farmers who had vanished, colonization would have proceeded much more slowly. If Indian culture had not been devastated by the physical and psychological assaults it had suffered, colonization might not have proceeded at all. The story of Squanto, a member of the Wampanoag tribe, is much less innocent than the narrative that he assisted the Pilgrims with teaching them how to grow crops and take advantage of North America bounties. 6 years before the Mayflower arrived in present-day Massachusetts, a slave trader captured Squanto, Tisquantum, and a group of Native Americans. With the help from the Catholic Church, Tisquantum escaped and found his way to England where he learned English. He eventually returned to North America in 1619. While Tisquantum was overseas, New England's indigenous experienced a monumental death rate, with some communities losing nearly every tribal member to the decimating effect of European diseases. Upon returning to North America and his village of Patuxent, Tisquantum found only piles of bones of his fellow tribesmen killed by the plagues. He realized he was the sole survivor of his village. The illness spread so quickly that many local tribes never had time to bury their dead. Where Tisquantum's village once thrived, the Pilgrims established Plymouth Plantation. During this time, the Wampanoag lost up to 70% of its people, while a nearby enemy tribe, the Narragansett, did not. Wampanoag leader Massasoit saw the Pilgrims as possible allies against the Narragansett. Due to his English-speaking abilities, Massasoit used Tisquantum as a translator. Though the Wampanoag leader did not trust his fellow tribal member and held him as a prisoner. Rather than continue a life of servitude to Massasoit, Tisquantum established himself as a key resource to the Pilgrims, teaching them how to survive. The Wampanoag and the Pilgrims made a treaty that established an understanding that the tribe would look out for Pilgrims against their enemies and vice versa. Squanto's travels acquainted him with more of the world than any Pilgrim encountered. He had crossed the Atlantic perhaps 6 times, twice as an English captive, and had lived in Maine, Newfoundland, Spain, and England, as well as Massachusetts. All this brings us to Thanksgiving, Lowen wrote in Lies My Teacher Told Me. The Pilgrims celebrated their successful harvest in 1621 by shooting their guns in the air, which caused Massasoit to bring together warriors and prepare for battle. Instead of fighting, the Wampanoag and the Pilgrims worked together to prepare a feast. In an article published by Indian Country Today in 2011, Thanksgiving is the time of grief for Native Americans. Many natives continue to gather at Coles Hill near Plymouth Rock and remember the losses experienced for the past 400 plus years through the National Day of Mourning. The event began in 1970 when the Commonwealth of Massachusetts invited Wamsutta James to address the public on behalf of the Wampanoag people. However, once organizers learned the subjects of his speech, which included highlighting the death and broken promises at the hands of settlers, colonial powers in the United States, James was no longer invited. This prompted the formation of the National Day of Mourning. James wrote, "The actions by Massasoit was perhaps our biggest mistake. We, the Wampanoag, welcome you, the white man, with open arms, little knowing that it was the beginning of the end." For those in education, Dr. Mosteller encourages seeking alternative curriculum and guest speakers from Native communities that can shine an appropriate light on the holiday's history. The Chickasaw Nation, for example, had a curriculum specialist who developed circular to make available to school districts, not just on Thanksgiving, but on a whole list of issues where the Native narrative has been either turned on its head to make something that it wasn't, or we've just been erased from the narrative altogether, she said. As we reflect on the historical chapter, it is important to recognize the complexities woven into the fabric of Thanksgiving. The holiday, born in a time of national strife, was intended to be a gesture of goodwill and unity. However, it cannot be divorced from the painful realities of the subsequent execution of indigenous people in America. Thanksgiving in this context becomes a symbol of the intricate relationship between the U.S. government and the Native American community, one marked by both cooperation and betrayal. In our modern-day celebration of Thanksgiving, let us not forget the nuanced history that shapes this holiday. It is an opportunity for us to engage in more comprehensive dialogue about the challenges faced by Native Americans and First Nations people throughout history and to work towards a future built on understanding, justice, and reconciliation. Thank you, and may this exploration of history deepen our appreciation for the complexities that define our nation's journey.